Hello again and welcome to Verulam Sports Podcasting. And the NFL has reached about the halfway stage in the season. And we've got some big virtual football news for fans of virtual football to reveal and to tell us all about it to build up to a virtual bowl final. We've got the amazing Hertfordshire Cheetahs' own Andy Dickens on the line. How are you, Andy?
I'm very well, thanks, Tony. How about yourself?
Doing A-okay, matey. Oh, yeah, okay. Always appreciate your time. Always enjoy chatting NFL. And, of course, we'll build up to a little bit of more virtual football news with the Cheetahs very soon. Just quickly, though, before we delve into this properly, and slightly tongue-in-cheekedly here, Andy, do forgive me, but I can't help myself. As a Viking, have you given up the season, or are you still living in hope that there's still a bit of where there's life, there's hope?
I had a terrible feeling you might bring up the Minnesota Vikings there, Tony. I think it's very much looking forward to towards the 2021 season, if I'm honest. I think the trade of Yannick Ngakoue, who we gave up a second round pick to get earlier in the season, who we've just traded away to a third for a third round pick to Baltimore, despite being our leading sack, sort of gives you an indication that they weren't too interested in paying him too much money. There's lots of rumours around that some of our sort of established veterans that have performed well for many years are available for other teams to try and trade for if they're available. And I think it's very much a case of a rebuild. I think the problem they've got, obviously, is that the performance of Kirk Cousins, their quarterback, who was the first quarterback to be given a fully guaranteed contract. Yep. I think the Vikings, unfortunately, are still very much married to him for the next 2 years. So I think that's the difficulty they're going to overcome in trying to rebuild.
It was a strange one on me. I don't want to pour disparagement on the man. Far be it from me to do that. But he never quite understood the what he quite did in his career to justify the sums of money that were paid. But there we go. Credit to him. Credit to his agent. And we'll see how the Vikings rebuild. Look, Andy, it could be worse. You could be a Jets fan.
Absolutely. Always something to hold on to, isn't it?
Indeed. Before we kind of build and kind of get into detail with the NFL, just a few things. Injury-wise, that I would love your take on. Now, everybody who's involved at any level of American football understands it's a contact sport, it's an impact sport, and injuries are part and parcel of the game. But two massive ones this week alone. We were eulogising, weren't we, about the crazy kind of history-making pace that the QB from Dallas, Dak Prescott, was making. Last time we spoke, he's out for the season. And another league poster boy, Odell Beckham Jr., wide receiver for the Browns, also out for the season. They're two poster boys for the league, isn't it? Again, do you think that this is just a reflection of the nature of the NFL? Or do you suspect that an aspect of the shortened training camps, et cetera, the weird 2020 year has played into effect here at all?
Yeah, well, I think, as you said, it's a collision sport. So injuries, unfortunately, are part and parcel of it. However, I think there was a lot of concerns going into the season about the truncated off season, that not getting not the opportunities for players to kind of, if you like, get contacts ready and get used and prepare their bodies for that level of physicality. I think certainly in the early part of the season as well, you saw a drop off in the standard of tackling on defense where it hadn't been practiced. And I think there's little doubt that kind of truncated off season has seen a lot of injuries, unfortunately, to some of the biggest names players in the league.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, we wish them well, and we do appreciate that just the nature of the game, and we wouldn't want to ever change it, is that it is going to always be an impact sport. But I wish both those two megastars all the best in their recovery process. You mentioned there that there's been a little bit of a fade-off in defence. And again, we had a chat last time, you and I, about a little bugbear about certain referee umpire calling, maybe in favour of kind of wideouts at this moment in time. But one team who is the only unbeaten team who remain defensively strong but look incredibly balanced are the Pittsburgh Steelers. The last time we spoke, I think there were six unbeaten teams. Now there is only one. just shows us, doesn't it, just how competitive the NFL is to have that fade off in just a few weeks. But briefly, Andy, your thoughts on the Steelers and their Super Bowl chances?
Well, I think they're absolutely in the mix, and I think, as you said, it's that balance, isn't it? I was amazed actually to learn this is the first time they've gone this stretch of games unbeaten at the start of the year. Seems they've been one of the kind of, if you like, storied franchises of the league in their great teams in the 80s, 90s, 2000s. They've been fantastic. They've got a reputation of being a very well-run organisation, and I think their GM's sort of consistently been able to bring in find things like wide receivers out of nowhere. So emergence of people like Chase Claypool, Deontay Johnson, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster out of nowhere, as you said, and they're very balanced and against, and they've got a phenomenal defense. And I think TJ Watt is certainly emerging as the kind of premier player in his family, which is saying something given his brother JJ's two-three time defensive player of the year over recent years.
It's not bad bloodline, is it? My goodness me, they are two war horses. But again, the Steelers are getting it done, so well coached. As you rightly say, they seem to identify these very talented wideouts that they seem to pick up for later rounds in the draft picks. And, you know, Juju Smith was on fire at the weekend and has hardly been a feature since the emergence of the wonderfully nicknamed Mapletron. But it is a balanced team. But I want to give some praise and get your thoughts on Ben Roethlisberger, because he has got a Super Bowl ring, but he's, of course, living in the era of the quote-unquote GOAT, Tom Brady, the likes of Rodgers, who put up monstrous numbers. We've obviously got Drew Brees in the mix. So he's playing in an elite era in the NFL of quarterbacks in what has been a pass-heavy, trending upwards league. I don't think he gets enough praise as a consequence. I'm not saying he's forgotten in the mix. I'm sure he'll be a Hall of Famer. But I just don't think he quite gets enough praise. I know he's a bit of a divisive character. But would you just give me your quick thoughts on the legacy and the career to date, and it continues on, of the QB for the Steelers, Roethlisberger?
Well, I don't think there's any actual doubt that he's a certified Hall of Famer and should be a first ballot one. As you said, he's got the kind of Super Bowl rings. And also, I think what people are forgetting, even coming into the start of this season, there was some criticism or suggestions he was just kind of a game manager. Yeah. And I think people were forgetting the pretty horrendous injury and the lengthy rehabilitation he's come off to play to even participate in this season. And I think, again, it's the same as offenses around the league have taken a little while sometimes to completely heat up, but he's been making good decisions with the balls, not turning the ball over, which again, if you look at my Minnesota Vikings or some other quarterbacks around the league, you can see how turnovers really hurt teams. So and again, how he's, I think, some of this success of receivers that seem to be sort of pulled out of nowhere for the Pittsburgh Steelers are in part to him making them that good in terms of his ball placement and where he puts the ball.
Absolutely, I couldn't agree with you more there. A team that they beat to remain unbeaten at the weekend was a previously unbeaten team, the Tennessee Titans. Now, we talk important coaches and kind of defensive elements. I think they're a really strong outfit. They were really getting shellacked from a lot of the game, but Tannehill showed poise. They kept tough. They kept hanging in there. They showed to me an awful lot of good qualities, even in that defeat. I think they're sneaky good, the Tennessee Titans, and could well be a real contender this season.
Agreed. And I think if you look at the shot to Ben Roethlisberger on the sideline after Gostkowski missed that field goal, it was one of a relief for thank God, you know, we got through that one. And I think, as you said, they were a field goal away from tying it and going to overtime. Ryan Tannehill's picked up right from where he left off last year. He seems to have taken a real stride since leaving the Miami Dolphins. As you said, I think the coaching's fantastic on both sides of the ball. And I think some of the issues that we talked about with the Houston Texans last time, what perhaps gets lost in that is the role, if you watch the Hard Knocks that Mike Vrabel played and how players looked to him and his kind of leadership. And I think and I think he's been real kind of instrumental in that change. And it doesn't half help to have a back like Derrick Henry either. At his size, speed and power makes it pretty difficult to defend without loading the box.
just freakishly good, isn't he? But watch out for Henry, and you will be impressed by him. You know what, though? You mentioned Vrabel there. I think he's a great coach. Obviously from the Bill Belichick school. Trending down, aren't they, New England Patriots? I'm sure a lot of people out there who kind of have that Marmite New England effect will be over the moon by their slight down phase in efforts, at, so far at least, this campaign. For you, is it too early in the piece to say, well, we have to heap praise on Belichick, of course we do, but it was really down to the GOAT, Brady. I'm still massively amazed by what Belichick's done. I think he's the greatest schemer I've ever seen, but they can't deny the fact that Patriots are certainly trending downwards, and also trending downwards in terms of stats is Cam Newton, who's QBing for them. Briefly, your thoughts on New England Patriots' demise at the moment this season and the question of the relationship Brady and Belichick, and who was I guess riding whom?
Well, I kind of feel that this might come back to bite us in a few weeks, Tony.
I've done this far too many times. I know it will. I know it will. But
Belichick's been wrong before. But I think the interesting thing. So I think to address the Brady Belichick issue first, I don't think you can take away from what Bill Belichick's achieved. I think he's perhaps the in some ways the greatest sports coach of the kind of 20th, 21st century. As we talked about the kind of parity in the NFL and the way it's designed with the salary cap and stuff and the consistent way of arriving there. It's the interesting one that I think, and I think a lot of it is down to the scheme and some of the staff, that it's quite a unique thing that's been able to achieve. And I don't think one could have achieved it without the other. I think there was definitely some ego in the parting of ways in the summer, and I don't think there's any doubt for me that they wanted to move on from Tom Brady. And as at the moment, as you said, it's not looking too good with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers riding high and seemingly getting better each week. And there's definitely some struggles in New England. Where I think actually the struggles in New England come is perhaps around Bill Belichick, the GM, because as good as a head coach he's been, he's also been a fantastic general manager. However, with the opt-outs, allowing Brady to go without replacing with a quarterback that seems to be quite up and down at this stage in his career, they really do look quite threadbare. And as good a scheme as you are, you need the players and the quality to carry out that. And for instance, inside linebacker, I think they're particularly slow. They miss Dont'a Hightower, who chose to opt out this year. And you saw how easily San Francisco were able to get to the edge on Sunday and run outside. And once that had been kind of secured, the Patriots really started to struggle. So Julian Edelman, who's been a kind of consistent receiver for them, doesn't look healthy. And so some of the problems that they had last year that were maybe covered a bit by Brady haven't kind of been addressed in the draft. And there's definitely some questions that could be asked around the team building.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, I was slightly tongue-in-cheekily there because I definitely think you can make the case and that he is amongst the finest coaches across all sports, all time. That mind, that scheming ability is phenomenal, I'm sure. With that kind of scowl of his, he'll be determined to turn things around for New England, and I would not want to be a player putting in anything other than 200% effort for him at this moment in time. So, as you rightly say, Andy, watch this space. Next time we talk, I'm sure it will be with egg on my face when it comes to Belichick chatter, but there we go. Moving on, you mentioned there the Niners. I just want to briefly talk about, because obviously I'm a Niner myself, and just so impressed on what was tight end day last weekend, of course, with Kittle, who's just so all-round strong. Him or Kelce, take your pick. I don't think there's much between them. Number one tight ends in the league at present. But again, just the ability of the scheming qualities of Shanahan to get to play through adversity, lots of injuries, to, as you say, find the edge so creatively. They're trending up, but in the NFC West, let's compare it just super rapidly to the NFC East. I think there's a good chance that the Niners, despite, I think, being a splendid football team in adversity, won't make playoffs. And somebody or other from the NFC East will. Just briefly your thoughts on that.
Well, I think it's brought up the debate about how the playoffs are decided. I personally quite, in some ways, quite like having a kind of representative from each division. I think in some ways that kind of keeps a rooting interest going into the going into the end of the season. But unfortunately, the NFC is sort of reignited that debate this year, because it is obviously particularly poor, isn't it? Amongst, and I think we discussed it last time, and unfortunately I don't think it's got any better from there, and particularly with the injury to Dak Prescott, it looks like the Cowboys season is looking increasingly finished.
You know, the Eagles in that division, to give them their dues, although their record isn't stellar, 2-4 and one tie, they've shown some decent things. I'm kind of impressed with their QB there. It just does some impressive things for me. But again, it just is a reflection that the overall standard of that NFC is just this season particularly poor. But there we go. We'll draw a line and we will move on to some thoughts for this coming week's actions. Obviously, we could devote a whole show to dissecting this. So I've just picked out a few choice games. The first one is that unbeaten Steelers outfit traveling to another mega team, the Baltimore Ravens. Last year's MVP, Lamar Jackson, stuttered a little bit, but looks like he's getting back to his best. These are two great storied teams, traditional blue-collar towns. And I tell you what, we're in for a great game. And I suspect, despite these two teams having real good Ds, we're in for quite a high-scoring affair here. What's your thoughts on this one?
Well, I think actually there's an argument, isn't it, that actually perhaps it's the biggest rivalry in the NFL. I think the interesting thing would be, as I said, Ngakoue, the one thing the Ravens have really struggled with is the pass rush. And I think if they, as you said, if they're going to kind of slow down Roethlisberger and these receivers, I think that's an area that they will need to improve. And it'll be interesting to see what he brings to that. I think it's a game that I actually think it's a game where we could see a bit of a lower score, where actually the scores are under kind of 30 points. It's been quite rare, as you said. It's just the both got, you know, two of the strongest defenses as there is in the league. I think as I said, it could be a game where it kind of stays under 30 points. And I think perhaps that if there's one weakness in the Steelers, it's perhaps in that secondary as well. So, and the bit that perhaps we're all waiting to see that hasn't happened this year is when Lamar Jackson's running game's going to get going, because that hasn't been a feature, and he was so spectacular in college and in the early part of his NFL career where that doesn't seem to have really ignited this year in Baltimore.
But do you know what? Still so young in the terms of his career. And, you know, again, his record is astonishing. Got so much respect and admiration for that young man. And the Ravens have a great record. Their only loss this campaign came to defending champs Kansas City Chiefs. That's going to be a great game. I'm looking forward to that one. Next one I picked out here is your Vikings traveling to Green Bay. Obviously, divisional rivals here. It's going to be a lot of kind of tension in the air. I think this is, again, going to be a sneaky good game. And I'm just almost despite myself. I'm actually, I don't know, I'm probably no good for this. I'm an awful pundit. But I'm just, for no good reason, I'm backing your Vikings. I just think you're going to come good.
Well, you were nearly right about it in Seattle, despite my pessimism, albeit to the last 30 seconds where it cruelly got taken away. I mean, I think the Packers have to start favourites other than the one blemish at Tampa Bay. Rodgers has been pretty exceptional this year, and they look there. I think the key to the Vikings, isn't it, is perhaps trying to shut down Devontae Adams and forcing him to rely on some of his other receivers, where there doesn't seem to be quite as much depth there. I think my concern really goes back to week one, though, and the Vikings' ability to kind of get any kind of pass rush. I think the loss of Anthony Barr early in the year, he sort of was involved in a lot of the kind of stunts that Mike Zimmer likes to run in his defences, and perhaps, if you wouldn't notice so much statistically, but he's I think he's been a huge loss to the kind of, yeah, Vikings defence. And I think, unfortunately, Rodgers might prey on the Vikings' kind of young secondary that still seem to be having some early struggles in the NFL.
To be fair, Rodgers will prey on many a good a cornerback in the league. He is another one in contention for the GOAT, as they love to say. But for some reason or other, I'm sticking with it. I'm going with Vikings in this one. And I make no apologies for the next game that we're going to pick out. Again, we've discussed it. I am a 49er, but I think this is going to be a barnstormer. Again, a conference clash. 49ers on a decent run, looking very creative, but they are still injury ravaged. Travel to the Seahawks, who were unbeaten before they were taken down by Arizona in a great game. And Russell Wilson remains many people's favorite to be league MVP, the QB for the Seahawks. Great clash, this one. Again, a clash of divisional rivals. I'm going to say 49ers in this one. I mean, I feel as though I'm compelled to have to, but I just think they're coming into a bit of form. I think they looked impressive in victory at the weekend. And whilst they're still not quite at full strength, by no means, they've been massively injury ravaged. I just got a feeling that the Niners are really hitting their straps at the moment, so I'm going to back them. But goodness me, Seahawks are world class. Could well be a bowl team. Your thoughts on this divisional clash?
Well, I think actually it could be quite a good matchup for the 49ers, because the Seahawks are struggling both in stopping the run and the pass on defense. So I think, as you said, I think similar to Sunday, actually, if the 49ers can establish that outside zone run, it doesn't seem to matter what running back they've got in there. I think Wilson went off for a number of yards on Sunday and was on the practice squad at the start of the year. So it doesn't seem to matter who they put in there. As you said, Shanahan's able to scheme cleverly, and the Seahawks are really really kind of struggling in their secondary. I think the question is how much Shanahan trusts Jimmy Garoppolo to throw downfield to exploit that. There just seems to be that seems to be the one issue with the 49ers. There doesn't quite seem to be that kind of trust between coach and quarterback, or certainly not wanting to put the game into his hands. I know the Seahawks this week are trying to address the other issue is the lack of pass rush. So it looks like they're trading from the Bengals for Carlos Dunlap, which should perhaps, if he's but I think for this game, he's unlikely to be available by the time he's gone through the kind of COVID protocols that need to be done nowadays. So I don't think you're feeling confident for the 49ers is too bad a shout, but the only issue is you wouldn't want to bet against Russell Wilson coming off wanting a bounce back from a slightly disappointing end to that Sunday night football game.
Absolutely. And also Pete Carroll, again, an awesome coach, would not ever really wish to back against him. But I'm doing just that anyway and hoping that 49ers good run continues. Right. The final game I want us to consider before we move on and talk all things Cheaters and, of course, build up to your big virtual bowl is the clash, another divisional clash, this time from that tremendously thrilling and high caliber NFC East. And it's the Cowboys, of course, we've mentioned, without their star QB, Prescott, out for the season, travel to the Eagles. And I think this is going to go one of two ways. And I'm going to say that the Eagles win. I just feel as though at the moment this is a Cowboys team who are just reeling. I think also Dalton, their second choice QB, ex-Bengal, may also be a bit injury ravaged. But sometimes in adversity, you do fight together. So I could perhaps make a case for that happening, but I just think at the moment this is a real awful year for the Cowboys, and I'm backing the Eagles. Quickly, your thoughts?
Well, I don't really see that team spirit on the Cowboys. I think there's as I said, I thought actually the acquisition of Andy Dalton was a really smart move in the off season to provide a really quality backup with a good starting experiences at a low price. Unfortunately, he didn't play particularly well on Monday Night Football, and as you said, got a kind of hit to the head that put him out of the last game. I think even the response, I think Mike McCarthy, the Cowboys head coach, criticised the offensive line, who didn't seem to be exactly running to the defence or sufficiently outraged after that particular incident. I think there's all sorts of talk, isn't there, about certain Cowboys players talking to the press about their unhappiness and not having a lot of confidence in the coaching staff. And I said, an all round there just seems to be you know, they traded Everson Griffin today, was one of my favourite players from the Vikings, who they were sort of paid him quite a bit of money in the offseason and quite disappointed in his production so far. So he's been traded to the Lions. So all round, it doesn't seem to be a particularly kind of happy camp. And as you said, I think along with your 49ers, the Eagles have been the most injury-ravaged team in the league. And I think it's easy to forget, as you said, only a few seasons ago, they were lifting the Lombardi. So I think there's perhaps more quality there. And I think for me, they're probably the team that's going to take that conference.
Yeah, it's looking strong for them. But looking strong now for the Hertfordshire Cheetahs. We've been talking kind of all season, for want of a better phrase, virtual football. And I'm delighted, first of all, I've said it before to you, that this is happening. Obviously, nothing beats the clash of helmet on helmets and the gridiron action. But to at least keep it in our minds, because momentum and sport and the love of NFL increases, and that applies right down to grassroots here. So I think virtual football is a wonderful initiative. And I always think it's wonderful when you win. That's a culture. Talk to me again about virtual football and your bowl final, and more critically, Andy, how we can perhaps help you win.
Yes, so there's a fantastic Facebook page called UK American Football Scene, and these guys, they're run by a couple of people. I think one's associated with the Birmingham Bulls, and the other person's associated with a kind of team in Norfolk called Norfolk Devils, and they really try and promote British American football in a really kind of positive way. And as you said, they've set up this kind of virtual bowl. So if people want to participate, they can join the UK American Football Scene Facebook page. And it's as simple as that. You can then choose, they've basically run the whole season. We've been fortunate enough to go 10-0, win a quarter final and a semi final, and we're in a final this week against Sussex Thunder. So it's a very simple process. Anyone can vote for just one team and one team only, and every vote is basically a point. So I think Sussex currently have the record for the largest number of votes on a single day, so they're going to be very tough opponents. But as a kind of divisional rival, who we won one and lost one game to last year, I think we'd really like to beat them in whatever format it is. But they're certainly going to be very kind of tough opponents. They're a well-run club, so they'll be drumming up support just as we are.
Absolutely. Well, listen, if you are listening in, you want our local Hertfordshire Cheetahs to claim a virtual bowl, make sure you get involved. Remind us once again, Andy, precisely how we can do that and lend our support.
Yes, so if you go into Facebook, search UK American Football Scene, you can ask to request to join the page. And I think the voting sort of opens from 9 a.m. on Sunday. So as you said, go into the UK American Football Scene, request to join the Facebook page, and all the details will be on there.
Excellent stuff. Do get involved. It's always good to win, even in the world of virtual football. All good fun and all good, strong things. Get involved and help the Cheetahs claim the virtual bowl. Andy, always love your time and always appreciate just how wonderful the Cheetahs are at being ambassadors for the phenomenal game of American football here in Hertfordshire and, of course, beyond. I know the season's curtailed, but I know you guys are in training. Tell us how we can get involved with you, learn a bit more about what you're all about online.
Yes, so if you want to, so you can reach us at, you can look on our website at www.hertfordshirecheetahs.com. We're on Facebook at Hertfordshire Cheetahs AFC, and on Twitter and Instagram on the handle at Hearts Cheetahs. And if you're interested in coming along, you can email heartscheatersrecruitment@gmail.com.
Absolutely brilliant. And I'll tell you what, it's certainly worth considering. They're a great family-oriented team. They play to a very high professional standard, but it is on the onus of family and connectivity. And it's not just adults and men. There's a women's outfit, a junior outfit, correct, yeah. There's flag football as well. So lots for everybody. Do consider it. Do get involved. And again, in closing, Andy, please remind us of your best website.
So it's www.hertfordshirecheetahs.com.
Perfect. Great stuff. Well, listen, I've always valued your time. Good luck in the virtual bowl. Good luck to your Vikings at the weekend and the season beyond. It's not over yet, Andy. And I look forward to catching up with you pretty soon.
That's great. Thank you very much for having us on, Tony. Much appreciated.
Always a pleasure. Take good care.